Amen. So worthy is He. Let's open with prayer. Father, I thank You for this time we have together now around Your Word. Lord, I thank You for each one that is here, Lord, for Your moving and working in our hearts and not giving up on us, not quitting on us. Lord, truly Your grace and Your mercy is the only means by which we stand. We come to this time this morning around Your Word, Lord, and I pray that it might stir our hearts, might stir our minds, might stir our actions for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Interesting how this works sometimes. When I was preparing for this sermon, I came across a little thought that I had written down from a sermon I had heard several months back, and it just clicked. I was like, I want to preach on that. And I sat there and tried to think how to put it together, and I was like, maybe that's not the one for this morning. And then something else, Lord laid something else on my heart, and I started building and working on that, and come down to it later on, and sure enough, here that thought fit perfectly into it that I had first been thinking about, and I was like, oh, I just didn't look at it from the right angle. That was the right thought, but it wasn't from the right angle. But I'm thankful and excited this morning for what the Lord's put on my heart, and we're going to start this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at our relation to the things around us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I've always loved this passage ever since I was quite young and came across it one Wednesday night and memorized it pretty quickly after that, and it's always meant a lot to me. But we're going to begin 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And I want to dig into this a little bit, the idea, the concept of being a soldier, because we don't necessarily understand this in the same sort of a way maybe that those in Paul's time understood this. In our day of technology, we went just a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and did a strike in Venezuela, captured their illegitimate dictator, and not a single American life was lost. Not even a single piece of American equipment was completely lost. We had some, you know, some destruction that we had to fix, but there was, it's not the gruesome realities of war that Paul would have been speaking of here. It's not, you know, hey, you're going out, you got a chunk of metal as a shield, you got a chunk of metal you sharpened up as a sword, you might not come back. Now, of course, in any military engagement, there's that possibility. But in our day and age, with all the technology we have, a lot of stuff gets accomplished with drone strikes where there's not even a real human being on site at the moment. A lot of stuff gets accomplished very, very hands-off, very remotely. Strategists will run simulations for days figuring out what works and what doesn't before they even go into a situation. It's not so much the raw boots on the ground kind of an experience that it has been through all of history. And so in some ways it can be hard for us maybe to understand in the same sort of a way the depth of what Paul's talking about here. You look back even just a couple generations ago, and you know, the World War I, World War II going on, and there's a much different atmosphere surrounding going off to war. Because, you know, you might have got drafted to go fight in World War II. You don't know if you're coming back. You don't know what your chances are. You know, if you got shipped off to Vietnam and trek around in the swamp for a couple of months, you might come back without being able to use your feet. You might come back missing a few limbs. You might come back in a wheelchair, or you might not come back at all. And I think in our little bubble we've created in our modern society, we don't necessarily feel or see those realities in the same way in relation to the thought of a soldier, because I've heard the old guys talk about getting drafted and you got everything in order to leave because you couldn't count on it, you're coming back. You know, a lot of times soldiers nowadays, if they join up, they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to, you know, the GI Bill is going to pay for my college, and then I'm going to go do this other thing. And they're planning all these things out in the future of how they're going to use this to benefit their goals and their dreams and their careers. Nothing wrong with that. Just to say, it's not the same kind of hey, I'm putting my life on the line for my country. I'm putting my life on the line. I don't know if I'll be back. I don't know if I'll see you again. You know, you can read stories of men going off to war going, well, I am not going to propose to my fiance before I go because I don't want her sitting here waiting for me and I don't come back, or however the situation works out in relation to that. And so I think it's important for us to realize what Paul's talking about here is not, oh yeah, I mean, I might get shipped off to a different part of the world for a couple of months during my time with the military, but I'll have full connectivity the whole time. I can chat and video chat and send messages and all this. Paul's saying, hey, you're getting called to go into battle. No pity, you're going to face difficulties. You're going to face hardships many times throughout the history of the world. Most times throughout the history of the world, you're not contacting or communicating with your family or the ones you love till either you get wounded and get sent home or the war ends, or, you know, you're committing to this 100%. And this is the idea that Paul is talking about here. He says, you are going out preparing to endure hardness, preparing to be a good, faithful soldier of Jesus Christ. And you don't need to be worrying about or all tangled up in the things that are being left back behind, because you have this bigger purpose that demands all, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If you were chosen to be a soldier, okay, this is my calling now. This is my career, at least for, you know, a certain period of time. This is what I'm going to be doing. I'm not going to be trying to make sure that everything's going fine back at the farm. I'm not going to be trying to make sure that my car is getting its oil changes. That's not my concern anymore. My concern is to be a good soldier. And I might still care about those things very deeply. I still care about my fiance that's back home, but I'm not able to be with her right now. And it's in my best interest to have the potential to return to her, to engage fully here. Because if I'm off daydreaming, I'm going to walk right into a sniper trap. I'm going to, you know, whatever the situation might be. And Paul here is calling Timothy to, and us through scripture here, to a committedness to God, to the things of God, to the battle that we are engaged in, that says, hey, I'm not saying all the affairs of this life are wrong, but I'm not going to get wrapped up in them and allow it to take all of my affection and my attention and my time, because I have a bigger purpose, that I may please him who has called me to be a soldier. Now, the soldier still is going to have certain things related to this life that he's going to think about from time to time. He's going to have different things associated with this life that are going to mean something to him, but he ought not to set his heart on those things and wrap up his full love and affection in those things, because they aren't part of where I'm at and what I'm doing right now. And they might not be in future. I don't know yet. I don't know what the future is. I'm holding the things that I hold, that I love, that I, my dreams, I'm holding them with an open hand, because my first priority is to serve him, to please him who has chosen me to be a soldier. That's the most important thing in my life at this point. And I want to go a little deeper even than what I had. What came to mind was Jesus talking about you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and mammon. And that's good. That's important. That's the first step. The next step, but I want to go a little deeper than that, is not just, oh, don't serve the world and the desires and the purposes of the world, but don't get attached. Don't wrap your heart up in them. Not just, well, yeah, I'm serving Jesus. I would never serve the world. But what about how I feel about it, how I look at it, how I view it, how much I am investing emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually into these things that are going to pass away? They can be perfectly good things. But are they conducive to him who's called me to be a soldier? If not, it's not that I don't do them or I can't do them, but I don't get wrapped up in them. I have to get up every day and go to work and provide for my family. I don't particularly like to remodel bathrooms. I don't particularly care about bathrooms. It's not a passion of mine. But I have a calling to provide for my family. As the husband and father of my home, I am called by God and expected by God to provide for my family. There's things I have to do that aren't necessarily my preference, aren't something I'm all that terribly concerned about, but it's a means to an end. So I do those things, but I'm not wrapping my heart up in them. I'm not getting attached to them. It's not becoming my identity or becoming my world. Oh, who are you? Oh, well, you don't need to know my name, but I'm, you know, a famous singer or a famous actor. I'm, you know, whatever. Is that my identity? Is that my defining purpose? Or is it something bigger? It's so easy for us to get too attached to the things that we live in and live around all the time, the things that aren't necessary parts of life, because we are walking a spiritual walk, but we live in a physical world. We have physical things that are required of us and that we need to engage in, but we need to engage in them without becoming entangled, Paul says. Don't be entangled with the things of this life. They're necessary, some of them. They're important, but I don't have to allow them to consume me. I don't have to allow them to set the precedence in my life. I don't have to allow them to set the course of my life or to set the priorities of my life. I am responsible to set those before God. And my first and foremost goal ought to be to make sure that I'm pleasing him who's called me to be a soldier. My first and foremost important thing ought to be to make sure that all my affection, all my love, all my care is focused and centered on Him, on what He's doing, on who He is, rather than on what I'm building here on this earth. I know that it's going to be burned up. I know it's temporary. I know it's going to be gone. I hold, view, and relate to the things of this world as not being all that terribly important because they're not eternal. Paul says to Timothy, hey, don't get wrapped up in all the things you do, all the things you see, all the things you touch. I heard a man give an example one time of a soldier who's too wrapped up in the R&R, the rest and relaxation, and he gets an emergency call. Hey, we got to deploy. And he goes to find his army boots, and they're all, the ties are all tangled up with his sports shoes. Nothing wrong with having the sports shoes, but they can't get entangled. That's not as important, and it can't become all wrapped up and tangled up with the things that are important. I think back to the command God gave the children of Israel in the Old Testament. They were to go out into the mountains, and they were to cut down branches, and they were to build little booths or tents for themselves, and they were to live in those for 1 week every year. And they were to do that to remember and to remind themselves, hey, this is not my permanent dwelling. This is not my home. This is not where I'm settling. And yes, I can build a home here. I can engage with the things that I need to engage with. But it was a yearly reminder that God gave to them to be a yearly reminder that, hey, this isn't home. That was to be deployed even once they ended up in the promised land, right? Well, we're here, we're home now, right? No, they were called to remember even then that you are strangers and pilgrims in the land that I gave you. They were called even then to remember, hey, this is a tent. This is a temporary dwelling. I'm here. I'm investing in it. I'm doing a good job. I'm not lackadaisical or just floating by. I'm engaging fully with the things I need to engage with, but this is not the end-all be-all. This is not my permanent dwelling. This is not my eternal home. It was a reminder that they were supposed to do this every year. What's interesting is when they come back from Babylon, they go out and do this. And it says this was the first time they did this since Joshua had been leading the children of Israel. I don't know how this slipped through the crack through David's years of being on the throne and his love and commitment to God and all some of the other, you know, Josiah, some of the other men of God who led God's people at different times through their history. But it makes you stop and wonder, would they have ended up in Babylon had they been constantly reminding themselves as they were commanded to, hey, don't settle in and get comfortable. This is temporary. Because they settled in, they put down roots that were too comfortable, too deep, too settled. They started going, hey, well, we don't really need God anymore. We pretty much got this figured out. We got a king on the throne. We've got our land. We've got our animals. We've got our fields. We've got everything kind of buttoned up in a sack. And we don't really need God anymore. And they, so many times, again and again and again, we see them just not that concerned about or connecting with or pursuing God individually or as a nation. And I wonder how much difference it might have made in their life if they had put into practice what God commanded them to do and reminded themselves on an annual basis, hey, this is not the end-all be-all. This is not the goal This is a means to the goal. This is something where I live and where I walk on a day-to-day basis, but this is not home. I think of the idea came to mind of going out camping, and you see some people go out camping and they got a lot of toys, right? A lot of camping toys. But you would think it was awfully strange if somebody went to a campsite and brought in equipment and started putting in a well, right? You're only going to be here for a while. This is a temporary, this isn't your home. Why are you coming and tearing up our dirt to put in a well? This is temporary. Why are you laying a foundation underneath your tent? This is temporary. You're here for a time, and then you go to your home. It's not intended to be a permanent location. It's intended to be a place where you are right now. And camping is a lot of fun, but I'm glad it's not constant, right? But in our spiritual life, during this brief time we're on this earth, it is camping. And we ought to treat it as such. I don't need to put down, drive in 5-foot stakes to hold my tent because I'm expecting to be here through the next 5 typhoon seasons. I'm here for a period of time. And then I'm going to go home. And I'm not here in this life permanently. I'm here for a time. And then I expect to go home. These things are important, but they're not eternally important. These things are important, but they're not the end-all be-all. They're not the goal. Somebody used the analogy of going to stay at a hotel, and you come into the room and you go, I don't like that color of paint. Let's get the decorator in here. Let's repaint these walls. You know, this carpet, I'm not really a big fan of this carpet. Let's rip this out. Let's get a carpet company to come in and let's put down some, you know, I like this other color. I'd like it to be a little bit thicker shag. It's a hotel. You're not expected to be here long term. Why are you calling in the interior decorator? Why are you getting paint and painting the walls? You're here for a season. Don't remodel the hotel room. You're here on this world, in this life, for a season. Don't get attached to it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Don't set your affection on these things. They're going to pass. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Seek those things that are above. There's a right and a wrong way to go about living our life. There's a right and a wrong way to go about prioritizing our time and our energy. And there's a right and a wrong way of where we set our love, our affection, our care. Seek those things that are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Don't allow this life and all that it contains to consume your energy and your every waking moment and your love, your affections, your care. It's interesting when Christ gives the parable of the sower that went out and sowed the seed. He says some of that seed fell on stony ground. I might be getting too confused here, but he says that the weeds sprang up and choked it out. And in his description and explanation of that, he says it's the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of sin, of riches, I believe he says. But it's the cares of this life. It's the things that are necessary, the things that are important, the things that you have to get up and do everything, but they choke out the word. They choke out the life of Christ in your life if you allow it. You know, I think of these vines that twine and wrap around stuff, and they can climb up a tree and they wrap around the branches, they wrap around the twigs, they wrap around the trunk, and they can strangle that tree. They tangle it up. They entangle it. Paul says, don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. They can be good things. They can be important, necessary things, but don't let them tangle with and wrap up your spiritual life, your walk with the Lord. That's far more important. We have to keep those things separated. Hey, I am not going to allow my worries and frets of the day to come into my time with the Lord. I'm not going to stop my time when I've set aside to spend with God praying or meditating on the Word. I'm not going to allow the worries of what ifs and the bills that I have coming due to come into my mind and crowd out and get tangled up with those things. There's a time and a place to think about those things. There's a time and a place to make those plans. This right here is my time for God, and I won't allow those things to come in and tangle with my time for God. I'm going to keep those things out. Now, I can and should allow the things of God to come in and influence those things, but I can't allow it to go the other way. Don't allow the things of this life to entangle you. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world or shaped by it, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't let this world shape you. Don't let this world define you. You have something bigger and more important that you are living for. He who has called you to be a soldier, pleasing him. That's the goal. That's the purpose. These other things, they're temporary. Be transformed. Don't be conformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. John says, don't embrace and love and cling to these things. He's not saying that there's not important things you have to do in relation to this world sometimes, but don't let them be your love. But rather, love the Father. The love of the Father cannot coexist equally important in your heart as your love of this world and the things that are passing away. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't embrace both when they're so different. Their purposes, their goals, their eternality. And if I am focusing my love and my heart and my care on the things of this world, I am not going to be focusing them on God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What beautiful promises to those who follow, those who would choose to please him who's called you to be a soldier, to hear your master say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You are faithful in a few things, all the things that I gave you here on this earth. Now, I give you the opportunity to be faithful in many things in eternity." Let's pray. Father, you know our tendencies. You know our heart. Lord, you know how easy it is for us to be distracted by the lights and the bells and the whistles, the bling of this life. Lord, you know how easy it is for us to get floundered and allow those things, the cares of this life, to choke out the word, that it becomes unfruitful. To allow what we see and we feel and we interact with on a daily basis to shape our perspective of you, to shape our perspective of your grace, your mercy, your love. Lord, you know our weakness. And we pray for the grace to do as our brother Paul called, to stay focused on him who has called us to be a soldier, to be a good soldier, to follow you with commitment, with heart, and to set as our goal not just to not serve two masters, but to not be entangled, that we may please him who has called us to be a soldier. In Jesus' name, amen.